This meeting is now being recorded.
Coach Conklin.
I'm here.
Ms. Fleming. Judge Barton.
Here.
Judge Bloom.
Here.
No. I'm here.
Judge Buckley.
Here.
Judge Coates.
Here.
Judge Fannin. Judge Gabe. Judge Jackson.
Here.
Judge Marginis. Judge Nadler.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
Here.
Judge Thompson. Ms. Bartleson.
Here.
Ms. Carter notified us she's out. Mr. Finke. Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Mr. Planet.
Here.
Mr. Roddy. Mr. Taylor. Ms. Turner.
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Capobianco. Sorry, Capobianco. Mr. Yamasaki.
Here.
Advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw.
Yes, I'm here.
And Mr. Theodorovich.
I'm here.
Great. So we just completed roll. Has anybody dialed in the past minute or so who did not answer up for roll call? Any member? Okay. Well, we're missing a number of people, but by my count, we have a quorum. So again, in the interest of finishing timely, I'm going to get us started. As noted before, we have a condensed agenda. I think we can get through it pretty efficiently, but I want to make sure we have plenty of time if necessary. We're going to start with the minutes, take it a little unusual. Usually this is just a perfunctory, please approve the minutes, and that's what I'm going to ask. But thanks to Sherry Carter yesterday evening notifying me there was a glitch we caught that is not insignificant, and so I asked that the minutes be corrected and provided back to all of you. So you now all have the corrected minutes. And just to focus you, it relates to item one, and just we wanted to be sure the minutes reflected our unanimous decision that any court at 105% or above, and I'm just paraphrasing, in the second year of no new money would go down 2%, but no lower than 104%. And the 104% basement is what was clarified in the new minutes. So with that, unless there's any other concerns, I'd invite a motion to approve the modified minutes as just posted.
One other.
I'm sorry, was there a concern?
Yes, this is Jeff Barton. I attended by phone. I'm listed as being present at that meeting.
Okay, Michelle, could you just modify the attendance list to show that that was a phone presence, not an in-person? Thanks for that clarification. Any other concerns, or is there a motion?
This is Judge Blum. I move to approve the amended minutes.
Thank you.
Yamasaki, second.
All right. I heard a lot of seconds, but I think Judge Nadler jumped in first, moved and seconded that the minutes be approved. Beyond the modification to the minutes, any objections? Hearing none, I'll deem the minutes now unanimously approved. Thank you all very much for that, folks. And again, thanks to Sherry for catching what was not an insignificant need for clarification. I understand there were no public comments received for the meeting, at least the last time I checked. Michelle, is that the current condition?
That is correct.
Great. Okay, so we're going to move right to our items. We have three action items and a discussion item on the agenda. The first item we're moving to is set forth in your materials beginning at page 6, and that's the reallocation of unspent funds provided in a 1617 BCP for Sacramento Superior Court's V3 case management system. Most of you are familiar working through the case management systems and the funding that relates to that. This addresses one of those issues, and I believe we have with us Jason. Are you available from Budget Services?
Yes, sir.
Great. Jason, take it over.
All right. Item one is to consider a recommendation to the Judicial Council to reallocate approximately $1.25 million of unspent funds in improvement. Improvement Modernization Fund to the IT program for the CMS replacement project, specifically for the Sacramento Superior Court CMS system. These funds were originally provided in the 16-17 BCP and subsequently allocated by the Judicial Council as well in that year. Now, the BCP stipulated that the funds were to be deployed by June 30th, 2018. While the first two phases of funding were transferred to the Sacramento Court, the third and final phase, they were not able to reach an agreement by the deadline of June 30th. An agreement has since been reached in July, but we are going to need a new allocation in order to give them authority to transfer that last piece of funding. Attachment 1B in your packet is the fund condition statement for this fund, which shows that that money has been held in reserve since 16-17, specifically for use on the CMS project. Approval of this request would allow the final transfer and completion. This additional funding to the recently improved 2019-20 applications in July does not represent a change to the expected long-term fund balance, as these funds were always projected to be spent for this purpose.
Great. So the rest, was that it, Jason?
Yes, sir. Any questions?
So just to clarify before questions, the specific recommendation is set forth on page 7. Also, I've been told that at least Judge Gabe has joined us as a voting member. The recommendation is to approve the recommendation of the Judicial Council of reallocation of $1,255,900 in 1920 unspent funds to the Information Technology Office for the Sacramento Superior Court's V3 case management system. And again, I appreciate Jason clarifying this is pre-existing funds, so it doesn't negatively impact the IMF, correct, Jason?
Correct.
Okay, so with that, I'll open it up to questions or a motion.
This is Jeff Barton. I move approval.
Move and approve the there's a motion to approve the recommendation on page 7. Is there a second?
Second by Terry Jackson.
And Judge Jackson has joined us, so thank you very much. Moved and seconded that the recommendation on page 7 be approved. And I also want to thank Sherry and Judge Barton, Sherry Carter, for the R&E co-chairs. They essentially passed this through to us for immediate consideration so we could get it to the council in September. I appreciate their efficiency in doing that. With that, are there any additional questions or concerns for the recommendation as noted? It's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to the recommendation set forth on page 7 of your materials for item 1? Hearing no objections, I'll deem the recommendation at page 7 for item 1 unanimously approved. Jason, thanks so much for your efficient presentation. We appreciate that. We're now moving to action item number 2 on our agenda. That relates to a consideration of the Fiscal Planning Subcommittee for a recommendation to provide the Contra Costa Superior Court with a 3-month extension on the receipt of their CWR, their child waiting room funds, during the temporary closure for Contra Costa. Just of note, FPS met 2 weeks ago right after our in-person TICBAC meeting, though it was a telephonic meeting on the way when they were returning home. It was about an hour long. We considered this item as well, voted to approve it and move it on to the TICBAC for its full approval. We anticipate, if it's approved, taking this item to the council in September. So the specific recommendation is set forth, and we have Melissa on the phone. Melissa, would you like to summarize this?
Sure. Thank you, Judge. Presenting on item 2 of the agenda, the Superior Court of Contra Costa is requesting a 3-month extension on their Judicial Council approved request to continue receiving children's waiting room funds during their temporary closure for relocation. The court closed their children's waiting room in Pittsburgh on October 1st, 2018 in order to relocate the services to Martinez. The court previously anticipated opening the new Martinez children's waiting room location in July of 2019, but experienced some process delays and is now expecting to reopen by October 1st, 2019. The court's request for the extension is provided in your attachment C of your materials. The Fiscal Planning Subcommittee recommends that the TICBAC approve the recommendation for the 3-month extension for consideration by the Council at its September 23rd-24th meeting. The continued receipt of children's waiting room funds during this temporary closure will allow the Corps to accumulate sufficient funds for reopening and resuming full-time operations by October 1st, 2019. Happy to answer any questions. And Faley from Contra Costa Court is also on the line. Thank you.
So this is Judge Conklin. I'm just clarifying, you said it, but I just want to make sure we all understand that these funds are obviously restricted to the use of the child's waiting room, and they're to the benefit of that court for allowing it to roll over this money during the time the waiting room is closed to when it opens to be able to defer and account for all the costs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Questions or concerns? And the recommendation that we'll be asking vote upon is on page 11 of 25 of your materials. Any questions for Melissa or for Contra Costa?
This is Judge Blum. I move to approve the recommendation.
All right. It's been moved. Who is the second?
Arnolfson.
All right. It's been moved and seconded at the recommendation of page 11, and Melissa read that for us. Be approved and sent to the council for its September meeting. Any additional concerns or discussion of that recommendation? Hearing none, are there anybody opposed to the recommendation that's set forth at page 11 of your materials? Hearing no objections, as the chair, I'm going to deem the recommendation unanimously approved and be submitted to the council for its September 23rd, 24th meeting. And now we're moving to our last action item, and that's item number 3. It's beginning at page 19 of your materials, and that essentially is a consideration of a recommendation to forego reporting requirements for outstanding encumbrances for all funds funded from the TCTF and the IMF, unless requested, which I think is an important thing to note. And Jason, are you back with us?
Yes.
Great. Can you take it over?
Okay. Item 3 is to consider a recommendation to the Judicial Council to forego the annual reporting requirement on outstanding encumbrances for the Trial Court Trust Fund and the Improvement Modernization Fund, unless specifically requested. In August 2015, the Judicial Council meeting, the Council adopted a tick-back recommendation for biannual reporting for the reporting requirement. At that time, both funds were facing anticipated funding shortfalls, and the reporting requirement was to help aid tick-back in making possible reductions to outstanding encumbrances at that time, as well as evaluate future allocation requests, all in an effort to maintain fund solvency. A little over a year ago, at the May 18 Judicial Council meeting, the biannual reporting was reduced to an annual as conditions in both funds had improved and frequent reporting wasn't necessary. And lastly, recently with the approved budget change proposals in the 1920 budget, the budget has now removed any uncertainty on both of these funds for the foreseeable future. So removing the reporting requirement would help reduce workload, and staff will retain the ability to do ad hoc reporting on either of these funds if requested. And conversely, if anything happens in the funds that we think tickback should be notified of, we would do that. Any questions?
So I get two. Jason, thanks so much. And one of them you just stated. So this would not prevent tickback from making a request to staff as to any information about encumbrances, and you'd be able to pivot on that pretty quickly?
Absolutely.
Now, additionally, and I don't know if it needs to be added to the recommendation or if it already exists, but if staff becomes aware that there is now a concern about an encumbrance, would tickback be immediately notified, or would we have to ask for that?
No, we would take it upon ourselves to notify you if anything changes.
Okay. So as long as that's understood, I appreciate that, just that we have the discretion to request notification, or if an encumbrance if it does appear that there's going to be a problem, we would be affirmatively advised by staff without having to ask them, correct?
That's correct.
Great. Any questions or concerns? The recommendation is set forth at page 20. And if there's none, is there a motion to approve the recommendation as set forth at page 20, again, as clarified by Jason?
Yamasaki moves approval.
Turner
Thompson
moves second.
Okay, I heard Turner jump in before Thompson. Thanks so much. It's been moved and seconded that the recommendation set forth at page 20 of 25 be approved. Is there any opposition to the pending motion? And hearing none, I'll deem the recommendation at page 20 of 25 of our materials unanimously approved, and that will impact, obviously, the reports coming to us unless we otherwise request or there's a need. Thanks so much for that, Jason. Now I think that completes all our action items. We're going to now move to an information item on our agenda related to the language access signing and technology grants. We've got Don and Doug, are you both on the line?
Hi, Judge Conklin, we're here. This is Douglas. Thank you all for having us today. This project is hopefully a good news project for the branch, one that will lead to greater efficiencies. to support judicial branch language access expansion efforts. The 2018 budget included ongoing funding of $1 million per year for language access signage and $1.55 million per year for the trial courts and council for language access technology infrastructure support and equipment needs. And the relevant BCP language from 2018 is highlighted on page 1 and 2 of the grant overview in your packet, which emphasizes the need for signage, both electronic and static, and wayfinding tools, and included $1 million each year for this purpose. The BCP also highlighted the need for court language access infrastructure and equipment, which includes $1.55 million each year for technology, interpreter equipment, multilingual communication, and telephonic or other remote interpreting technologies. $200,000 of the $1.55 million amount for infrastructure support is being dedicated to the council each year for upgrades to the existing language access toolkit and other council language access infrastructure support, such as translation costs for statewide forms, web content, and other multilingual resources for LEP court users. So the amount available to trial courts for technology and infrastructure support is therefore $1.35 million each year, with $1 million also available each year for trial courts for signage needs. The Language Access Services Unit of the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts is planning to disperse this funding for trial courts each year, beginning in the current fiscal year, as a grant program. And the goals of the Signage and Technology Grant Program are listed on page 2 of the overview. And quickly, they include support courts with the development of multilingual signage to help LEP court users to navigate the courthouse, assist courts that may need equipment or software that will facilitate communication with LEP court users and the courts, allocate funds to as many trial courts as possible within the given budget to support language access signage and technology initiatives, fund enhancements that provide LEP court users with greater access to the courts and to information in their language, encourage courts to establish an ongoing plan for grant funding that coordinates with other facilities or technology initiatives planned or underway, support language access as a core service of the court, and under the grant program, courts will be able to apply for both signage and technology needs. A determination was made to disperse this funding as a grant program for several reasons, including to help the council identify and fund local needs, establish priorities, encourage courts to develop plans for ongoing funding, assist courts with uniform practices, and establish a mechanism to highlight progress and best practices each year. The governance model that's going to be proposed to the council is for the Advisory Committee on Providing Access and Fairness, also known as PATH, and the Information Technology Advisory Committee, also known as ITAC, to approve recommendations for grants before they eventually go to council for approval. The reasons for this are because of the intersection between language access and technology. CFCC works on language access issues for the branch, including support for PATH and the new Language Access Subcommittee. IT works to address technology issues for the branch, including support for ITAC and the Judicial Council Technology Committee. And we're planning to ask PATH and ITAC to approve the grant overview process this month so we can bring a report on this item to the council in September. As a first step, we wanted to share and review the overview with you all today as an informational item so all the members are aware of the planned program. Pending approval of the proposed grant process by the council in September, grant application forms will be sent out to courts in October, and applications will be due on November 15th. Recommendations will then be developed by staff working with the Executive Office for review by the Language Access Subcommittee and PATH and ITAC. And then, as I mentioned, the decision on which projects to fund will be made by the Council by March of 2020. Due to limited funding and depending upon the number of requests received, it may not be possible to fund all requests, and some requests may be approved only for partial funding. And courts requesting funding for more than one project in each category will be asked to identify the top priority project for their court. We're establishing a guideline that no more than 10% of the annual grant budget for each program will be allocated to any one court. So no more than $100,000 for signage, no more than $135,000 for technology. However, if the total requests fall below the total annual allocation, courts may be awarded larger amounts to make sure that we disperse this funding as needed. Funding must be encumbered each fiscal year, and ongoing costs such as software maintenance and support should not be included in the request. And if a request covers multiple years, courts must undertake the project and then reapply each year. The signage and technology grant is a reimbursement grant, which means that the funds will be distributed after the conclusion of a successful project. The priorities for the first year are on page 3 of the overview, and we developed these priorities for the grant program based on the BCP language, conversations we've had with the language access representatives over the past year, or information on court needs based on our annual language access survey. And we'll also go over the priorities with PATH and ITAC this month. Signage priorities include translation of signage language not available in the glossary of signage terms and icons, which is available on the Language Access Toolkit, development of multilingual electronic signage and non-electronic signage, so signs, et cetera. Technology priorities include interpreter equipment, headsets, and wireless transmitters, telephonic video remote solutions for LEP assistance, both inside and outside the courtroom, and scheduling software or other software that allows accurate multilingual communication between the LEP court user and the court. And I only have a few minutes, so thanks for letting me go over this. Under the grant program, courts will be able to apply for funding for audio or video remote solutions, including for video remote interpreting, also known as VRI, if permitted by their memoranda of understanding and any other agreements between court administration and court employees. All courts, including courts who participate in the grant program and request funding for VRI equipment in 2020, will be asked to follow the Council's VRI guidelines for spoken language interpreted events. And the guidelines were approved by the Council this past March following a pilot conducted in 2018. This will help to ensure proper use of VRI solutions in the courts, which is still an emerging technology and must be carefully implemented by individual courts to ensure due process for LEP court users. The pilot did not preclude trial courts from identifying and implementing alternative solutions, which are consistent with the technical guidelines that were approved by the Council and also meet the programmatic guidelines that were established in the LAP. Thus, we'll be working with IT staff to identify a range of options and vendors available to courts that may be cost-effective and can ensure successful communication to meet the needs of LAP court users. As mentioned, we're working closely with staff and IT to make sure that the grant program conforms with the branch's strategic plan for technology, as well as the tactical plan for technology. This will include support and plan alignment for related language access technology projects, including efforts to enhance language access for all LEP court users through video remote solutions, voice-to-text language services, and intelligent chat. We anticipate that we'll do outreach with the court language access representatives and other members of the branch at public forums like the upcoming PJ CEO meeting to inform stakeholders about the grant program and possible uses of funding for language access technology. For the first year especially, the grant program will help us to identify the variety of court needs and give us helpful information to update the priorities each year as needed to conform with branch-wide planning efforts. Council staff works regularly with the court language access representatives to identify best practices and innovations taking place in language access, including in the areas of signage and technology. It's anticipated that a report will be prepared at the completion of each grant year to identify successful signage and technology projects, which will allow the branch to share best practices and innovations with courts statewide and the public. So in conclusion, we're excited about establishing this grant program for language access funding for the branch. Courts have identified additional funding as critical to purchase and implement new technology and cover signage costs, all of which are crucial to meeting the language access needs of our LEP court users. So that concludes my overview, and I'm here with Don. We welcome any comments or questions you may have.
So thanks so much for a thorough presentation. It's all set forth in the materials, but are there any questions for either Doug or Don on this informational item? So I just wanted to clarify, previously as TICBAC worked through these related to the previous language access plan, and I recognize this is not that, we had a voice in funding, but this is different, right? Because this is grant funding, so this won't filter back through TICBAC for any action items. This is coming to us for informational purposes only. Is that right, you two?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns for either Don Will or Douglas Denton as we conclude this presentation? Great. Thanks very much to both of you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, folks, we've worked through all of our action items, the informational item. I show our next meeting, and Michelle, hopefully you can confirm this, is September 26th.
Yes, I believe so, Judge.
And I'm not sure if that's in person or telephonic, but obviously we'll clarify that well before then.
In person, Sacramento.
Lucy, thank you very much. From the corner. Oh, and in Sacramento. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. September 26th, Sacramento. We'll look forward to seeing everybody there. Agendas and materials will be coming out to you well before then. Anything else for the good of the order from any member?
Nope.
Great. 12:30 straight up. That's half an hour. Thanks all so much for your time. Appreciate it. Continue to enjoy your summer, and we'll look forward to talking soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.